time, I'd like to advise all participants today's conference is now being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's UDRP call on Friday the 29th of April. We have Carlos Aguirre, Philip Shepherd, John Berard, David Taylor. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Khalil Rashid, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apology noted from Mary Wong. And if I could just remind you to state your names for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Margie.
Thank you. We also have apologies from Christina. She wasn't able to make it as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, so we'll make this call brief. And since we have four people other than staff on the call, I guess the question really is, do we have sufficient amount of time to go through the list, given that I just circulated all these names in the last, half hour or so? My apologies, but I did just receive names this morning, so there was not much I could do about it. So what I have for the agenda is just a finalization of the speaker list, and then that's really it for today. And really my question for you all is, do you feel that we have enough information and enough people on the line to decide this today, or if we should try to pick this up on Monday?
Margie, this is John. I have a suggestion that might answer all that without, being too problematic. We're planning on doing this webinar on the 10th of May, yes?
Yes, that is correct.
And at a specific time, right? What's the specific time we've picked?
$1,500 UTC, I think, isn't it?
Right.
Yes, sorry.
So it's my experience that the hardest thing to do in the current day is to get people to appear at the same place at the same time. So I would suggest that we, as David might say, stipulate that everybody on this list comes with a recommendation and a credential, that we send a note to every one of them and ask them if they could participate, at that time on that matter, and just let them know that we're putting together this webinar, we're trying to identify appropriate resources to participate, and we're just trying to find out availability, because that alone may cut this list in half.
Which is, David here, which is probably what we'd need to do anyway.
Right.
Just cut the list in half.
And some may choose to use a fake scheduling conflict not to participate.
Hmm.
And we should allow them that the grace to do that.
From a this is Margie. From a logistics standpoint, it's really hard to do it that way. I do a lot of planning for, our DNC forum. To manage the list that large and to figure out who's responded and who hasn't, and then, in a sense, we're giving them an expectation that they will be invited, and they might be for all that they weren't, chosen. So I don't. I mean, just my personal opinion. I'll do it either way, but I do feel like it's
All right, but then what you're talking about is we now need to go through this and rank order these potential candidates, right? And then what you're going to do is you'll invite the person at the top, and if that person says no, then you'll go to the second one, and if that person says no, you'll go to the third. And that's easier than just trying to do a first cut with who can do it.
David here, I'll probably chip in on that. I think the main worry was just, I can completely see where you're going, John, on this. I think because we are going to lose a lot of people potentially who won't be able to do this, the problem is one of expectations. And I'm just thinking there, if for instance, picking the academics, if we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 academics there, if we asked all five and all five say yes, and then we decide to take two of them because we decide we need two academics, two complainants, two respondents or something all talking together, and that's six, and we can't have more than that, then we end up with a scenario saying, people saying, well, that was funny because I wasn't selected by whoever was doing the selection, and we'll have some sort of discussion of bias or whatever there potentially coming
up. You realize that what we're doing right now is on tape, though, right?
Sorry, say again? What we're doing right now is...
What we're doing, yeah, so anybody who wants to, you know, look at that has access to our conversation.
Oh, sure, yeah,
pruning the list before we invite people, or we're pruning it after we find out their availability. I'm just trying to figure out a way...
Yeah, but I think maybe one of the things as well is the... I mean, I'm looking there, just talking about the academics list as an example, and we could certainly talk about the complainants list as well, but we've got... Of the people there, you know, I'd say some of them would be one-sided and fewer of them would be the other side. So you already know people's positions on what they're going to do, and we've suggested names to try and get a balance. So we're kind of looking for one pro and one against, so we have a good discussion. So there, because we've maybe got less people who you'd consider pro, we've already put in a bias because we've put more people in there. And then the same thing on the respondents, you know, because we've got many more complainants outside council and less respondents outside council, I would be worried in the same way in reversing that we're inviting too many complainants outside councils and less respondents outside councils.
I didn't mean to make the process more difficult. I thought I might be able to offer...
I agree.
So I'll turn it back to you, Margie. You can lead us through this if we now want to talk about the pluses and minuses of each of these people. How many academics do we want? Two? We want one respondent, one complainant, and then two people from the, or one from each of the or two panelists? How many people are we looking for?
That's a good question.
And I've got the same question for you as well, Margie, because I was wondering how many you were thinking of.
Let me tell you what I remember. We did invite three panelists, every provider, to have one speaker. So that's four right there. And they haven't given me the names, but they've all confirmed that they will be sending, we'll have someone participate. And I don't know that we've been very clear about how many from each category. We have 2 hours altogether, we already have many categories. So we've got staff, we've got registrars, we've got academics, then complainants, complainants both inside and outside council and panelists. So that's like stories there. I'm thinking one, maybe two in each category. What do you guys think?
I don't think we need two outside council complainants and inside council complainants. We can probably just pick two from that entire group. Or say one from each, a company person and an outside counsel.
Yeah.
And maybe we can get by with just a single respondent counsel. I mean, Barry Hill seems to be the front runner, but John is quite a personality. I don't know. Ari Goldberger might be a better choice if we're trying to. Well, I don't know. Barry Hill probably knows the thing best of all. There's nobody on this list who is is the respondent as opposed to the lawyer for the respondent, right? I mean, it'd be great to have somebody who
a well-known cyber squatter.
Well, you say cyber squatter, somebody else might say domainer, somebody else might say, we all have many labels. And that's, I think, the point here. I mean, trying to get behind the labels, right?
I mean, I'd certainly agree. I mean, if we look at the number of complainants we've got there and the outside council, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And complainants inside council, we've got another 4, so we've got 13. And we've only got 4 respondents. So that's my same point I was making before with with the academics. This one is heavily biased, if we can call it biased, towards the complainants. I'm sure some would. So there we need to try and, even that out as best as we can. So, I mean, do we have something where we've got two respondents and two complainants? Or two two outside counsel for complainants and two outside counsel for respondents, and then just maybe have one complainant inside counsel there. So you have one person who files a lot of these out of those four. So that way it's less. Because I don't think we need two. I'm presuming they're saying something similar, but again, we are doing a lot of presumptions.
Sorry, Carlos Aguirre here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. I think two per each category is a well number, is a good number. What do you think about?
I think we could probably go down that route. The only thing I'd probably say on the panelists would be worth to get more panelists there, because they're really the ones who see the cases. They will see the complaints and the responses. And in my email, which I've just pinged around earlier, something like David Bernstein, his actual transfer rate is quite low, and he will find very often for respondents. So, and he finds for them for the right reasons, as far as I'm concerned. It's when a complainant has overreached, and he's got an experience there of seeing hundreds of cases where either complainants overreach or don't. So his viewpoint to me would be, really good to have there. So I'd say, things like that. We should possibly have four panelists, or maybe, I don't know how many we could get there, but I think that would be very interesting. So I'd probably plump for more on the panelist side than less on the rest. So maybe two on the rest would work, if you think that, Carlos.
Philip, I think I agree with that. I think we're going to get better balance and expertise, I think, from the panelists. So I think, as a general principle, selecting one from each of the providers seems to be a good start. And then aiming at two from each of the other categories seems about right.
Because panelists, by definition,
are we assuming that inside counsel and outside counsel for complainants are separate or a single category?
Sorry, Carlos again. We expect to have a seminar for 2 hours. Is correct?
Yes.
Okay. If we have four participants per category, it's not so much in 2 hours. I don't know.
Yes, I believe what Philip was saying was four for the just panelist category, one for each provider, and then I think we're still talking about two together. Is that right?
Correct.
Right, and Mike.
So we're talking about 10 to 12 participants altogether, which is five hours of talking, which is the first hour of talking time. So with introductions, delays, etc., that gives you about 45 minutes of Q&A. Sounds about right.
Could be.
Okay. How do you guys suggest we narrow the list down? Do we try to narrow it on the call?
I would suggest that if people have knowledge of the anybody who's been suggested, then that would be a useful criteria to put a tick to say they may be the preferred one to invite. And then you go down the list after that. So in terms of the state of panelists, for instance. If we've got three from HKIAC, if anybody knows them, that may be a reason to say let's have this guy first. Otherwise, we may just have a tentative invitation to those three, and in that invitation, you say one will be chosen, and then you can choose them on the basis of availability, as John had earlier indicated, if we've got no other means of judging. and maybe do that with some of the other names, taking the preferences where we've got more than one nomination.
This is John. I don't know any of the panelists, but I was encouraged by David's comments about David Bernstein. I mean, if he's a pragmatic panelist, then certainly somebody I think we probably ought to have on there. The only other names that I know and feel strongly about would be Jonathan Cohen as counsel, and John Berryhill for the respondent. And I was intrigued by the note that Jeff Newman sent around regarding Konstantinos' book and taking a closer look at that. I think I could easily see Konstantinos being a preferred panelist. And my assumption is that the registrars probably put a lot of thought into Stratton as their recommendation, so I'd probably endorse that as well. So that's, right there, one, two, three, four, that's five people right there. That would be the extent of my ability to comment even somewhat credibly.
David or Philip, do you have any observations on some of these speakers?
As I indicated in an email that some of you may have seen, I liked the thought that WIPO had put into all their nominations. They seemed to understand exactly what we were aiming at, and therefore had made some selections based on that. We didn't have that thinking process expressed in the feedback we had from the other organizations. So I would give preference to their proposals. We had some discussion on the list in terms of the academics of Cedric Manara, I was also encouraged by that discussion, so I would give a preference there. Jonathan Cohen, going back to complaints, is somebody I know well. I don't know how active Jonathan has been of late, though. That would be my only question.
Philip, what was your question? I didn't hear that.
How active has Jonathan Cohen been lately?
I don't know the answer to the question. I see him at the ICANN meetings from time to time.
As far as David here, as far as sort of running through the list there of people I know, certainly, and I pinged an email on that, David Bernstein and Tony Willoughby, they would both be excellent because David's US and Tony's UK, and when I was saying that, but they often don't agree. It's one of those things that WIPO has a panelist session every October, and for the last 6-7 years I've been going along to that, and there's a session where David Bernstein is propped up against Tony Willoughby, and they have detailed arguments on free speech and what sort of cases should pass and whether this would be under this and the US panelist or a UK panelist, etc. It's something which is one of the most intriguing and interesting sessions that you get on the panelist discussion, and they do fall quite soundly on different sides of the coin. So that, in that sense, I think they're both very good. And again, in the same comment as I made for David Bernstein, I mean, Tony Willoughby, when you see some of his decisions, and if you do read through, a complainant who goes up and gets Tony Willoughby and has not made a good case isn't going to win it unless the respondent is such an obviously clear cyber squatter. So you really have to make your case out, whereas you may have other panelists who wouldn't be so strict, and he is very strict. So in that sense, he's strict because they've been doing cases for a decade. So on those side of things, I think both of those are very good. Matthew Harris, I know well, he's put forward by the CAC. I think that's the only one they've put forward. In the same way, he's incredibly rigorous, and you sometimes see comments about NAS panelists writing short decisions. Matthew Harris is probably one of the lengthiest decision writers in the world. He can write 20, 25 pages. So he is very, very thorough as well with that side of things. I think he's good because they really do know the issues. So those are three I know very well. Christopher Toe I do know not so well, but I do know him. Of the complainants, if we're going through, obviously I know Gabriel Kennedy because he's at the same firm as I am, so anything I say would be biased about her. Paul McGrady files a lot of complaints. And I think he's good because he's recommended there by NAF and WIPO. So I think that's quite good if we've got two providers and we work on that basis, that two providers have suggested the same person. Seems to me a good reason perhaps to go with that person. And then of the other people, I know some of them vaguely, but not particularly well. I haven't sort of read many cases by them. On the complainants themselves, if I was going through, Amy Gessner from BMW, that's the BMY, which is down there, she's quite interesting to listen to, and I've heard her speak, and they do file quite a few complaints. I don't know about the other three particularly on that. Respondents, John Berryhill, know him well. I think he should get the vote in there because NAF, WIPO and CAC, three of the providers all recommending him, means he'd definitely be pretty much top of the list, because he is well known, and he's argues his cases very, very well and has acted for many, many respondents. So I think he's certainly a good person to put up there. Perhaps we should try and get somebody else in from HK, IAC, if we can, to get sort of more of a distribution, should we say, of people and not have so many Americans. And on the academic side, I'd probably stick with that. I think Cedric Manara would be very good. I've put that in one of my posts. And I think Konstantinos as well would be very good because he's, certainly the fact he's writing a book and the fact he's present in the ICANN meetings today means he's very active. He's active in the stakeholder groups. So I think he would make, a very good person to be there as well. And then, obviously, registrars, we've no one else to choose from, so I think I should back that. And I've no idea who Khalil is. Hey, Khalil. So I'd completely go, no, I do know, obviously. So I think Khalil would be good if we can get that on ICANN staff would work. And I think that gives a good balance if we've got the, a registrar and ICANN staff and academics. I think that in itself is a good session, great session to have on it. My thoughts rushing through.
Carlos, did you want to add something?
No, Marty, I can talk only about academics. I think Michael Gates and Konstantin Komaitis are good names. Maybe Eric is the third one, but I don't know the names nominated in other categories, so I can talk about this.
Thank you. I'm just at a loss to figure out what the next step is in terms of narrowing this list. Should I send an email out to the list that we talked about just now and get through the end of the day to provide any final comments? And then Monday, I guess, have another call. I'm just trying to think, to get this list.
I recognize it's difficult. I mean, I think David's analysis was quite helpful, actually. I mean, he was basing it on some personal knowledge and also on the recommendations we've had. I agree with his analysis that where we've got, more than one nomination from a provider, that looks like a good reason. And, I'd be very happy to go with his proposals as a shortlist and maybe send that out as a straw man to get comment on and see if we can get consensus around that.
I agree. Let's assume that we've just set the list and send it out for final okay.
Okay, so let's take a few minutes. Let me go through each category. Tell me who to put on the short list. For the panelists, said we wanted
We're committed to taking one from each provider, yes?
Yeah, I think we should, definitely. I think
right.
Panelists
So clearly, yeah. Matthew Harris has to be on the list. And, we need to... David's analysis regarding Bernstein and Willoughby was interesting, but, interesting to take them as a pair. I don't know how you would take one over the other. Is Matthew Harris an American?
He's UK.
UK, so then I would say let's go with David Bernstein, who's from the United States. And then in terms of the HKIAC, does anybody have a recommendation between or among Yoon, Wu, and two?
Just to the pro, yeah. I couldn't recommend one over the other, so I'd just be guessing. I think maybe that's one which Margie could suggest sending that out, saying, you know, going back to the provider and asking the provider maybe to contact them and say, you know, could they check which one of them would be available to do it? And, you know, we'd certainly like to have one of them, but we're not in a position to decide who. And then that way they can have a discussion themselves, and they'll probably come with to a view and recommend one of them. Just saying, we're very keen to have one from HKIAC.
Right.
Okay.
Now, there seem to be five organizations here.
One, two.
What is an AV?
No. I typo on number two.
Okay. So then the question is, does anybody have a recommendation between Able, Saffron, and Carmody, or should we do the same thing? Send them a note and say, offer up one.
David here. Sorry, Sally Abel's the only one I know there. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to dismiss the other two just because I don't know them. That's certainly not a good enough reason. So, yeah, maybe do it.
We can do that for you, David.
Yeah, you could. But, I mean, that's a good way of saying it. We'd like, could they recommend or check with the three of them and ask them to, the provider, to send out, as you want, Margie, but asking which of those three, we'd certainly like to have one of them on board. Could they recommend? Or could they liaise with the three and come back with one name?
No, I agree. That's the sensible thing to do.
Because then we're not selecting as well. I prefer
sure.
to be not doing too much of a selection process here.
If I may comment, the name Judge James Carmody came from Christine Dorian from... Sure, I asked about the quantity. If you recall, I had emailed... to that, just asking basically who do you recommend, and then you guys asked me to go back and say we want someone with more, with most experience. So that's
well, yes, I'd agree with that, and I mean also looking at the selection. My understanding, and tell me if this is still correct, is that WIPO is rather dominant in terms of the volume of complaints.
Given
that's the case, I'd have thought there would be a strong case for taking up both of their suggestions, particularly as David was saying, they come from different perspectives. I think that would be very valuable if we know they're good presenters and have those different attitudes. That strikes me as a good reason to have them, and one each from the rest in the way we just described. That seems good to me.
So, do you all agree with that we should have the two from WIPO?
I think it would be good. I don't think we'd lose anything. And if at the end of the day we decide against it, I mean, they may not both be able to do it. So, again, that could be a self-selection.
So we're agreeing that we'll do five panelists, then?
I think, as I say, coming back to that, I think on the panelist session, I think that's... That for me, anyway, I think that we get the most value from this, and that was our objective, to get the views of the providers and, factual looking at the UDRP and that side. So I think we're going to have an automatic bias on complainants and respondents. So the panelists, to me, seems to be a good way. I'd certainly put more panelists there if we can get good panelists. The more input we can get from panelists, the better, and the more input from the providers, the better. At this stage, that's what we're certainly looking at. So, I mean, if it's five, that doesn't particularly bother me, and we may end up with four anyway on the day. And if it was six, it wouldn't bother me on the panelists if we had to open out and do more.
Okay, well, I'll put that on the short list. So I think we're good. We're just to summarize. One of them, and quality, right?
And if we had to drop somebody, I think, I can't remember who said it, but on the point of who was, John, you'd said if Matthew Harris, which is him being English, then I'd if we had to go for David Bernstein or Tony Willoughby, then let's go for David, so we've got the broadness. We'll probably end it with more Americans anyway, but hopefully we'll have a good spread anyway.
Okay. So now complainants. Where are we on complainants? Got Brady, because he's been requested two different forums. Do you have any other recommendation? Oh, and Amy Gessner from BMW, right? At the other.
Yeah. Complainant. Yeah. That was to get an actual complainant themselves, as opposed to an outside counsel. I think it'd be good.
Yeah. Good balance. I agree.
Okay. We got Grady, Amy Gessner from BMW. Now let's move down to the respondents. Tom Berryhill, obviously, because he's been recommended several times. Who else on the respondent list?
I think David's suggestion was a good one, that we go with one of the two HKIAC recommendations.
And if I recall from the email from them, I cannot read Chinese, is an actual respondent as opposed to attorney. And then the second name, a representative. So I'll respond back to Dennis' contact there to check if one of them could be available. Does that sound all right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds good, Mark.
Yep.
Now let's get down to academics. Looks like we've got Constantinos is the one that has the most work both on the list and among you all. Do you want one or two academics?
I'm trying to go for two. And why not the last two on the list, which seem to have... we know they're both currently engaged, one in terms of studying and one also, you know, up to scratch. I think they sounded good to me.
You're referring to Cedric, the last name listed?
Cedric
Manara. Yeah, the last two on the list. Yeah, Constantinos and Cedric Manara.
Okay.
If neither of them can make it, then we can go back. We've got the other three there, so that would... three other options behind us as backup.
Any objections to that approach? The last on the academic list?
Nope.
Okay. I think I've got it. Then we've got Staten and Khalid from staff. So what I'll do is I'll summarize this, send it out to the list today, and ask if there's any objections. If I don't hear anything Monday around noon or so, I'll start inviting.
And interestingly enough, that gives us 13 named people, and then plus the providers, if I'm right. So we've got 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 people in total, yeah? Is that right?
Yeah, I think it'll be a very dynamic and interesting discussion.
It's a great group.
If we get them all, it'll be excellent.
What I'm interested in is the chat that will go on alongside the webinar.
Mm.
That will be the most interesting data.
And the thing is, as well here, is we do need. Are we going to try and, Marty, get these out, sort of invitations out today?
No, I think I'll do the short list today and invitations out on Monday.
Okay.
Just in case there's some serious objection, I doubt it. But you know, given I gave such a short amount of time to look at the list,
sure.
We should give at least up or an opportunity to really object.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, thank you all. Thank you, Margie.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
I'll try to set up another call sometime next week to just kind of go over the format. I'll ask for a doodle to be sent out to figure out a time that works for everybody. Okay?
Okay. Are we going to do that? We'll have to do it early on in the week, I guess, Monday or Tuesday, because if it's on the 10th of May, that'll be less than a week away.
Yes, right. Okay.
We'll be really, really tight, won't we?
Did you hear that? If you could do a doodle for Tuesday of next week.
I'll get the doodle out for Monday or Tuesday. If everyone can respond ASAP, we can get the call set up.
Okay. Terrific. All right.
Great.
Thank you.
Have a nice weekend, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same. All right. Same to everyone else.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. At this time, everyone may disconnect. Have a nice day, Gisela.
Lovely. Have a nice weekend. Take
care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.